Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for PAION's earnings call on the financial results of the first half year of 2014. As there was a mistake in sending out the moderator pin with the participant pin, I would like to kindly ask you not to press the presentation button in case you are logged in as the moderator. Thank you very much for that. I am Ralf Penner. I am PAION's Director of Investor Relations and Public Relations, and I'm joined by Wolfgang Söngen, PAION's CEO, as well as Abdelghani Omari, our VP Finance. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the half-year achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted to the investor section of our website and were given in today's press release with the moderator pin, so please be reminded that you may not use the presentation push button. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded and a replay will be available later today. The dial-in details to access the replay will be posted on our website too. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that the actual results may vary from PAION's current anticipation. I would like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slide also. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should now start right on with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ralf, and welcome to everybody on the line this afternoon to our half-year report. And I would like to start with page 3, corporate overview. I would like to stress that we consider ourselves as a specialty pharma company as we want to differentiate from the somewhat amorph expression biotech. Our lead compound is a small molecule and promising ultra-short-acting anesthetic sedative, which is in phase 3 development and has significant market potential. We already have signed 7 regional partnerships for remimazolam. We are listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Our current market capitalization fluctuates around 130 million, and we have seen extremely high liquidity over the last 6 months, and that has continued also during the last 3 months. We are very virtually organized. We have 15 FTEs headquartered in Aachen and have a second office in Cambridge, UK. Our recent highlights are considering the capital increases that we started earlier this year with gross proceeds of 11.1 million. We also were able to announce the rather early unexpected completion of the remimazolam phase 2 trial in general anesthesia in patients undergoing cardiac surgery. In May, we were able to release the headline data of that study. In June, we signed an extension of the license agreement with R-Pharm for the MENA region, and in July this was followed by a license agreement with Endopharm. Then we completed our capital increase with gross proceeds of 46 million, and that was then added on by a PIPE that we had agreed upon with Endopharm, which brought in another 4 million gross proceeds. On slide 5 you can have a view of the stock performance in price and volume, but I don't want to spend too much time on that. I'd rather hand over to Abdel in order to go into the details of the financial report.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to guide you through the financial key figures for the first half year 2014. Compared with the previous year and also give an outlook for the full year 2014. Let me start with an overview of the several capital measures we have conducted this year. we have raised in total €61.4 million by issuing 25 million new shares. Basically, we have done this in two transactions, where technically these were five capital increases. The first transaction was a rights offering about €5 million, followed by two private placements with total gross proceeds of €11.17 million. These are the top three capital measures mentioned on the slide. The second transaction was then a rights offering, followed by a private placement, both conducted in July, with gross proceeds of more than €50 million. Let me describe a little bit more the rights offering in July. In this rights offering, we have issued 18.5 million shares at a price of €2.50 per share. The uptake was approximately 98%. The shares not taken up by shareholders were then placed in an accelerated book build offering with institutional investors. Gross proceeds from this rights offering were €46.26 million and will be used for the completion of the phase 3 programs with remimazolam in the US and the EU. Remaining proceeds will be used for pre-marketing activities. Let me now give some information regarding the private placement we have done in July with Pendopharm. Pendopharm gave us a commitment to invest €4 million in the rights offering at a premium of 10% to the top price. Since there were not enough RUM shares available to allow for this investment, we had agreed with Pendopharm that they do the investment right after the rights offering. In fact, we have issued 1.3 million shares to Pendopharm at a price of €3.1563, which is a 10% premium on the volume-weighted average 5 days before the private placement. This is approximately 26% above the price in the rights offering. Gross proceeds from this capital increase were €4 million. From an accounting perspective, both the rights offering and the private placement will be reflected in our Q3 report. Let me now continue with the P&L. In the first half year 2014, revenues amounted to €1.5 million, which is €0.3 million higher than in the corresponding prior year period. The revenues mainly relate to the upfront payment from Airpharm for the extension of the remimazolam license to include the MENA region. In the prior year period, revenues amounted to €1.2 million and related to a milestone payment from our Chinese partner Yichang Humanwell. Research and development expenses amounted to €4.3 million, which is an increase of €2.3 million compared to the first half of 2013. The increase is due to more development activities, in particular production development, phase 2 study, and the preparation of the phase 3 programs with remimazolam. General administrative and selling expenses amounted to €1.9 million and increased by €59,000 compared to the first half 2013. In total, we show a net loss of €3.8 million compared to a net loss of €2.2 million. The change is mainly due to the higher R&D expenses in the current reporting period. This means earnings per share, basic and diluted, of minus €0.13. Now I'd like to move to the selected balance sheet items on the next slide. The non-current assets mainly comprise the development project remimazolam with €3.5 million. The current assets increased by €6.6 million to €21.1 million. The increase is mainly due to an increase of €5.4 million in cash and cash equivalents and accrued costs of €1.3 million for the rights offering conducted in July. The accrued costs for the capital increase will be recorded as reduction of the capital reserve in Q3. The equity increased by €7.3 million and amounted to €20.6 million, also mainly as a result of the capital increases conducted in Q1 earlier this year. As of the end of the first half 2014, the equity ratio was 83.5%. Current liabilities amounted to €4.1 million, a decrease of €0.6 million, mainly because of tax payments of €2.2 million relating to the net income in 2012 from the sale of Desmotteplase to Lundbeck. The decrease was partially offset by an increase in trade liabilities. On the next slide, I would like to give some information regarding cash flow and employees. The total cash flow was €5.4 million, of which minus €5.3 million was from operating activities and €10.7 million was from financing activities. The operating cash flow mainly results from the net loss and net tax payments and refunds of €1.4 million. Financing cash flow results mainly from the capital increases in Q1. At the end of the first half year, the total number of FTEs was 15. This is including management board. The number of FTEs increased slightly during the first half year. Currently, we are further increasing the headcount. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for 2014. For the rest of the year, we are concentrating on the preparation and start of the Phase 3 programs with Remy Mazelan. This means for the next weeks and months, especially continuation of regulatory interactions, site recruitment. Furthermore, we are working on production development for Remy Mazelan, in particular the production of study medication and the validation of production at market scale. We will also initiate pre-marketing and market access activities, but the focus of activities and spending for the rest of 2014 is on the development activities, which I have mentioned. Finally, we expect our partners to continue the development with Remy Mazelan and ONU to file for market approval. Also, we expect Acorda to continue the development with GGF2. Revenues for the full year will include €1.5 million upfront payment, which we have already received from Airfarm. In addition, we could receive this year further milestone payments from the existing cooperation partners of up to €1 million. Now, looking at costs, because of the investment into the development of Remy Mazelan, the research and development expenses will be higher than in the previous year. We expect a high single-digit million amount here. SG&A costs will be slightly higher than in the previous year. In total, we expect for 2014 a significant net loss in the high single-digit to low double-digit million range. After closing of the capital increases in July, we are sufficiently funded, which means that we now have sufficient funds to conduct the planned Phase 3 programs with Remy Mazelan in the US and EU, including filing process and to initiate pre-market and market access activities. Thank you so far. Back to you, Volker.
Thank you very much, Abdel. I would like to highlight in our pipeline overview, of course, Remy Mazelan, and I would like to stress that the funding is sufficient to fund two different Phase 3 programs. So in more detail later in the presentation, so that explains numbers. Well, yes, thank you very much for understanding this slight technical problem. And if you're all disciplined, I think we can manage the presentation well. So coming back to the pipeline overview, so we're focusing right now on general anesthesia and procedural sedation, and ICU sedation will be addressed at a later stage. GGF2 is fully developed by Acorda, and we have no involvement in that program. And the other assets, M6G, Sololine, and PN13, are right now in hibernation mode. Despite the successful fundraise, we have not sufficient money to also invest into these very interesting molecules. Now let me focus on Remy Mazelan, which we and others consider a game-changer opportunity. Remy Mazelan is the first benzodiazepine-like ultra-short-acting anesthetic sedative, which is important as one wants to provide fast onset and offset of sedation. The key feature of this compound is an ester group, which, when it is cleaved, cleaves the compound into an inactive metabolite, which is not active. We have very good market exclusivity, good patent protection. We have a comprehensive preclinical package in place that indicates a wide therapeutic window, which so far also has been confirmed in clinical trials. We have more than 900 volunteers, patients on drug, and we assume very attractive peak sales potentials, which would be 500 million worldwide per year in each of the three indications. Now, why is there an interest in anesthesia and the existing compounds? It is quite clear when you look at the existing gold standards, which is propofol and midazolam, which are actually quite good drugs, but both of them have significant issues or downsides, which essentially sometimes are difficult to deal with. It requires workarounds by the physicians to large degrees. And sometimes also these drugs, for their specific downsides, have to be used in combination. So when you look at this, you may say the ideal drug would offer the best properties of those both. And when we look at remimazolam, we think that indeed remimazolam offers the best of both worlds, of midazolam and propofol, which means we see rapid onset and offset, predictable recovery time. That means less resources for supervision after the procedure because the patient wake up quickly, which is a downside of midazolam. On the other hand, we expect and we have seen lower safety issues as compared with propofol. We have a reversal agent for this, benzodiazepine, and so that leads also specifically in general anesthesia and the afterwards to a potential of using less resources to supervise those patients. So in essence, we think that remimazolam offers the opportunity to not only substitute midazolam as a benzodiazepine, but also propofol in a growing market setting because the number of interventions is growing every year. And one of the reasons is, on the next slide, the increasing number of interventions in elderly patients require and ask for a more safe drug. Specifically, when we look at, e.g., the German market, where today most of the procedures are done in patients aged 60 years and older. And also, one has to keep in mind that much more interventions these days, operations these days, are performed on patients that you wouldn't have operated on 10 years ago. And it is quite clear that indeed in this age group, a lot of patients will have one or several cardiorespiratory health problems. What have we done so far with remimazolam? As I've said before, we have treated more than 900 patients with the compound, and we have completed, and our partner, Ono, has completed programs in different indications. Let's start with the procedural sedation indication, which has been exclusively performed by PION. We have done so far 4 trials in the United States with a focus on procedural sedation. We had discussions with the FDA at the end of last year and have come to an understanding that we have a good chance to get the same label as midazolam, and we are currently fine-tuning the phase 3 program with the FDA and expect to start them later this year. The second program, general anesthesia, has mainly been driven by Ono until last year. They have completed a series of studies from phase 1 to phase 3, and essentially the clinical program can be regarded as completed for Japan. And on the other hand, PION last year has decided to elect general anesthesia as lead indication for Europe. Consequently, we have performed a phase 2 trial in cardiac surgery patients in the EU. We have had a scientific advice with the BfArM, where we got reassurance that probably one phase 3 trial will be sufficient to get EU approval. However, this has to be confirmed with EMA, and we expect outcome of the planned scientific advice in Q4 2014 of this meeting. The third indication, ICU sedation, is currently not actively being developed, that is something that also PION will address at a later stage. I've mentioned before that we have 2 different lead indications that also requires 2 independent phase 3 programs. So let's start with the one that we are targeting for the U.S. It is procedural sedation. The current situation is that a lot of money has to be paid to provide propofol sedation by anesthesiologists. There is an increasing resistance of payers to pay for this, and also there is the expectation that the CMS code for this practice will change and there will be even more cost pressure on the physicians. On the other hand, it's a growing, very attractive market. Colonoscopies are more than 20 million cases per year. It's growing on a 4% range. And once you get the indication that allows you to use conscious sedation in colonoscopy, you can also use conscious sedation in other situations like imaging, wound dressing, limb resetting, etc. So how big is this market in the U.S.? As you see on slide 23, the addressable market of remimazolam comprises two elements. The one is the IV anesthetic market, and the other one is the gas market, the general inhalation anesthesia market. And these two markets together make up to $2.3 billion in sales expected for 2015. So it's a very attractive market, and if we can get the market share that we anticipate, this will be a very attractive business. Now let me spend just a minute on what is the problem with the current conscious sedation situation in the U.S. The point is that the FDA requires that propofol must be given by an anesthesiologist. So in the current CMS system, the anesthesiologist will bill separately from the GI doc, and that adds up tremendous cost to the healthcare system, which is at least $1 billion per year in the U.S., and the numbers are still growing. On the next slide, 25, is an explanation why the FDA is so strict on the label of propofol. Number one, it is its small therapeutic window, and that's underlined with the statement that a small increment in propofol dose can transition a patient from being capable of self-sustaining their vital signs to full anesthesia. And then the anesthesiologist must interfere. And the second one is that there is no reversal agent for an overdose of propofol, which is something that is available for remimazolam. Briefly, for those who have not looked at remimazolam closer in the past, two plots that explain how this drug works. On the top picture of this slide, you see how the reversal agent works. The reversal agent was given to patients that were sedated to loss of consciousness after 3 minutes, and if they receive the reversal agent, they wake up in 2 minutes and are fully back to normal. On the other hand, in the lower panel, you see that with the planned regimen, that means you give an initial bolus, which is then followed by top-ups, you can maintain sedation for up to 30 minutes and longer, but we stopped that trial after 30 minutes. On slide 27 is the headline result of the phase 2B study in colonoscopy. We were able to show a statistically significant superior response rate versus midazolam on a predefined endpoint, which was very encouraging, and we also were able to identify the dose that we want to use for the planned phase 3. Next slide, 28. As I mentioned before, we had very fruitful discussion with the FDA, and we have agreed on the program that we need to get to an NDA. What we want is to achieve to get a label which is comparable to midazolam, because then that means that no anesthesiologist is required to provide conscious sedation with remimazolam. The FDA was very responsive and offered support to achieve the planned label, and this process is ongoing. Now, what do we plan for the U.S.? The U.S. Phase 3 program essentially consists of three Phase 3 studies. There are two pivotal studies, one in colonoscopy, where we compare against placebo and midazolam, and one study in gastroscopy, where we just do a placebo-controlled study. The FDA also wanted to see a phase 3 safety study in bronchoscopy patients. The reason is that these patients are expected to be more sick than usually patients in colonoscopy and gastroscopy, which are usually healthy patients. So that adds essentially to the safety profile of remimazolam if bronchoscopy can be done in these patients without posing additional safety issues. Site selection for all of these studies is actively ongoing, and we also in the meantime have agreed with the FDA on a pediatric study plan, which we will then address after filing. We have the CRO selected to do the complete program, and we expect to start the first study in the fourth quarter of 2014. And we expect filing for the U.S. in 2015-2016, depending on when the last of these trials will be completed. On the next slide, let's now have a look at the European market. In the European market, the procedural sedation wouldn't be as attractive as in the U.S. because of the different reimbursement system. So we have decided to go for general anesthesia as a lead indication in Europe, and we have identified in market research that there is the existence of a medical need. And the main reason is, and we have focused on that, that propofol and other agents have a certain cardiodepressive activity, which is not very good specifically if you think of the elderly patients. The addressable market is quite substantial. We have more than 28 million operations per year in the EU top 15 countries. We assume that PAION also has a chance to get a step into the maintenance market, which currently is predominated by inhalation gases. On slide 31 is a summary slide of the ONO Phase 3 study, which showed two important things. Number one was 100% success rate, both for propofol and remimazolam. But more important, that was expected. But more importantly, we were able to show a significant difference in the rate of blood pressure drops for remimazolam compared to propofol. For propofol, you had these events in 60% of patients, and for remimazolam, this only occurred in 35% of patients, which is a significant medical improvement. So we have seen a meaningful lower cardiodepressive effect compared to standard treatment. We have not seen any adverse events of concern. So the excellent safety profile of remimazolam that we had seen already in the previous conscious sedation studies were confirmed. And as we have indicated earlier, the earliest launch for this compound is expected in Japan for 2015. Slide 32 is a summary of the Phase 2 study in major cardiac surgery, which we have completed earlier this year. So essentially here we compared remimazolam against the standard propofol sevoflurane combination. That means that usually propofol is used for induction of anesthesia, sevoflurane is used for maintenance of anesthesia, and towards the end of the procedure the patient is switched back to propofol. We could show that we have the same efficacy as the standard of care medication, propofol and sevoflurane. The success rates were close to 100%. And as we had seen in the ONO study, we could show significant reduction in the need to stabilize blood pressure by the use of norepinephrine. So it was 36% lower than under propofol sevoflurane. And again, we could see a very good safety profile, and the differentiation by the use of norepinephrine is significant and will lead also into the planning for the next study. Now, how does the European Phase 3 look like? We expect to agree with the agency that we only need one Phase 3 study, as was also indicated by the BfArM earlier last year, and we would like to perform this study in patients undergoing cardiac surgery. We expect agreement on the study design and patient numbers with the EMA in Q4, and depending how soon in Q4 this will be, we can either start in 2014 or early 2015. Depending on the outcome of the overall scientific advice and potential additional questions that may come up. So the filing schedule is comparable to that of the U.S. case 2015-2016, but the potential that this is later than the U.S.
I would say from today's perspective, is high. On slide 34, now what are we doing for the rest of the year? Right now there's no major news flow to be expected because most of the activities that we are doing don't lead to value-inflecting news, but it's definitely needed to prepare for that. So the focus is on concluding the regulatory discussions for both phase 3 programs. We also need to continue the production development and scale-up activities that we have started earlier this year, but this is a process that will take us also in 2015. So the first part of this is to provide study medication for the planned clinical trials. We also will see some development activities of our cooperation partners, and not to neglect is the fact that we need to build a new team because we need a broader team to manage the overall process, and this does not only relate to the massive R&D program and activities both in Europe and the US, but also to pre-marketing activities. So what do we plan and foresee for this year for pre-marketing activities? Of course, we will continue and refine our market research with each learning. We will start to establish key opinion leader board or boards, probably two different boards for the two different indications. And we will start to actively position remimazolam in scientific meetings, of course, also. We'll continue to brand PION as a pioneer in anesthesia and conscious sedation. And that will happen at international anesthesia and GI conferences, which will start later this year. Before I come to the overall conclusion, I would briefly spend a minute on the last of the third indication, because it also serves as an example why we believe that the anesthesia market is open for innovations at a premium both in the U.S. and in the EU. So it was launched in 2003 in the U.S. by Hospira and has managed to capture a market share of more than 40% between 2003 and 2012. And that at a pretty high premium over the existing drugs, midazolam and propofol. So the price per day for itomode, which happened unintentionally, then he stops the whole presentation. So we kindly ask everyone who is online not to try and manage and move the presentation. Well, I was referring to dexmedetomidine as an example of a premium price introducing into already then generic market, and this happened both in 2003 in the US and recently in 2012 in the European market. We still have to wait until the presentation is fully reloaded to catch up, but I can do this verbally. So our expectations for ICU are that we have good chances for the profile of dexmedetomidine to also address this market successfully and catch a similar market share as has been done by Hospira for Dexmed. The reason is that dexmedetomidine has the chance to shine because of the downside of propofol and midazolam. On the other hand, in the phase 3 trials, there was a significant number of patients, close to 60%, that required rescue medication either by midazolam or propofol in order to secure the wanted sedation levels. And here we think that we can make a difference, as well as in the improved cardiostability, which we already have shown versus propofol and sevoflurane. I think we are now back where we were interrupted, and I would like to spend a minute on our what we call string of pearl strategy, which now comprises a total of 7 deals. I don't want to go into too much detail of those deals, but they illustrate how the deal terms have changed over time with the growing knowledge about remimazolam and the increased data set. And so we were very pleased that in our most recent deal, we were able to sign this on a significantly higher royalty rate, which indicates the expected interesting sales potential for this drug in a market like Canada, and this was the first Western market, and that makes us very optimistic for also future collaborations. So we have raised this year, as Abdel mentioned, almost $60 million. And of course, our shareholders have the right to understand and learn how we want to use those proceeds. As we have indicated in our prospectus, we want to complete the development programs, including approval process in the U.S. and EU with existing funds. That means in the U.S. we go for conscious sedation, expect to file towards the end of next year, beginning 2016. And for the European countries, it will be general anesthesia as a lead indication with a similar time horizon for filing. We also plan to execute the pediatric plan that we have agreed with the FDA as soon as possible. We will use our dossiers and also owner's dossier to seek global approval for both indications as soon as any of those dossiers are available, so that will accelerate the overall process to get approval in other territories. And we also plan to initiate an ICU sedation program as soon as filing for US and EU lead indication is completed, and or until we have additional funding to be able to do this. This could come, e.g., from existing or future licensing agreements. And finally, what is very important, we need to fine-tune the positioning and prepare market access for both in the US and EU in order to be not only ready to file and seek approval, but also to turn this into a very attractive business opportunity. What are the milestones that will lead there? So based on the phase two results, we are seeking EMA scientific advice and we'll expect results towards the end of towards the Q4. We have completed significant capital increases. We plan to start the phase three programs in the US and EU towards the end of 2015. We still expect filing in general anesthesia in Japan by Ono. And, of course, for 2016, then, would be approval and launch, launch for Remimazolam in Japan and potential filing of Remimazolam in the US and EU would follow towards the end of 2015, beginning 2016. Yes. So, in summary, PAION has managed to position itself as an anesthesia specialist with a fully funded late-stage asset. The lead compound, Remimazolam, is targeting a growing market in procedural sedation and general anesthesia, and later will also address ICU sedation. We have to offer important clinical and health economic benefits and advantages over the existing gold standards. We have already collected excellent efficacy and safety data across all three planned indications. The program is validated by the positive phase 3 data in general anesthesia by our partner Ono. And we also have some commercial validation by leading regional pharma partners who have signed on to the future prospects of Remimazolam. So we are very well positioned to achieve significant late-stage clinical and early commercial milestones. And what we have seen is a very strong and renewed global investor interest into PAION. I would like to thank you for your attention and attendance. And we are now open to take questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Wolfgang. We are now happy to start with the Q&A session, so please.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for your speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Igor Kim, Close Brothers. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello, everyone. I have two questions, please. The first one is regarding the planned phase 3 trials in the U.S. You plan three trials, as far as I understood, colonoscopy, bronchoscopy, and gastroscopy. Now, with gastroscopy, I think it only requires to be compared with placebo. And is there any reason why it's not required to be compared with midazolam, like in other two trials? And a second question is, do you expect any further partnerships in other regions before the end of the year, or it's more likely in the next year? Thank you.
Well, let me first answer your question with regards to the placebo. Essentially, the FDA only wanted to see placebo. We have added in the midazolam arms in order to have a better differentiation against this existing standard. That's the reason. And in upper GI, there is the probability. There is a, you know, a medical practice that with a local anesthetic alone, you can manage a lot of these patients. So that is a different situation than in colonoscopy. That is why we have decided for the different approaches. On your second question, with regards to additional deals, no, we are not planning and focusing very much on partnering these days, because we have really more than our hands full to get the planned clinical programs going. But of course, we are always open for approaches and discussions, but we are not actively pursuing them.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. And perhaps one follow-up question. Is there any up-to-date shareholder structure available?
Based on the current notifications we received, we have one shareholder above 3%. This is TIRR Cref with 3.001%. The rest is below 3%.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question comes from Jens Haselmeier. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello everybody. First of all, congratulations for the successful year so far in terms of funding, I think. My questions would be with regards to the financial modeling for this year and the subsequent years. First, the SG&A costs in H1, could we see this as some sort of run rate for the next years, or the increase in SG&A costs when compared?
Yes, exactly. I mean, we show 1.9 million SG&A costs in the first half year. I think you can take this as a reference point also for the second half year. We've said in our outlook that we will be looking at total year numbers slightly higher than in the previous year. So last year we showed 3.4 million SG&A costs. So if you take the first half year also for the second, you come up with 3.9 million. So I think that's a reasonable assumption.
The next question comes from Igor Kim. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Okay, thank you. Just a short question. Whether your partner in Japan, Ono, decided to continue ICU trial, or, I don't know, to adjust, was it just a dosage? Thank you.
No, there's no decision yet on the ICU sedation, because the evaluation of the pharmacokinetic implications that were rose by the unexpected high levels is still ongoing. This is quite a complex undertaking, so a lot of different angles have to be looked at. And as soon as this is completed, ONU will come up with a new decision on how to proceed with ICU sedation.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Thomas Schiesle. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thomas Schiesle, indeed. Question on the remimazolam phase 3 trials in the U.S. You indicated that you one study will be on a multiple and on a single bolus design. Does the single bolus arm contain top-ups, or is it indeed only a single bolus?
Sorry if that didn't came out clear. So all of these trials will be initiated with a single bolus of remibrutinib, and then as needed, top-ups will be provided. Then situations when the intervention is very short, that a top-up is not needed, but essentially it is always prepared the availability of a top-up if the procedure will take longer time, or if the patient doesn't react quick enough so that the procedure can be started quickly enough. So in all of these trials, in principle, there will be an initial dose that will be followed by top-ups as needed.
Mm-hmm. So you don't differentiate between a strict one bolus and an opportunistic procedure?
Well, It is really, number one, we have to accept that there is a patient variability. I don't know if you recall the results of our phase 2A study in upper GI, where we tested that. We gave only one bolus, but also only one bolus of midazolam to compare that. And the fact was that midazolam patients only could complete in 45% of patients the procedure without rescue medication, because then it was defined as rescue medication. Mm-hmm. And we saw similar rates in the lower doses of remimazolam, as this was a dose exploring study. With the higher dose, we were at a success rate of about 65%, so much higher than midazolam as a single bolus. But our conclusion from that trial was that even for GI, it is recommendable to plan and allow top-up doses, because you want 100%, you know, close to 100% success rate.
Of course. Yeah.
And it's medical practice to give those top-ups, also with propofol.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah, thank you for clarification. Thank you.
There are no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much to everybody to be patient and handling the technical questions we had. I would like to thank you for this conference call and your questions you raised. I hope that we have been able to answer all your questions, but especially in this case, please feel free to give me a call afterwards if there are any open questions. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit the investor section of our website, where the replay dial-in details will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye, and thank you very much for your continued interest in PI.